Bertemu kembali, langkah Malaysia mengurangkan kadar dasar semalaman OPR kepada kadar terendah 1.75% didorong keadaan ekonomi global yang masih pada awal tahap pemulihan pandemik COVID-19. Menteri Kewangan Tengku Datuk Seri Zafrul Abdul Aziz dalam kenyataan berkata berdasarkan jangkaan pelbagai agensi seperti Bank Dunia dan juga IMF, lebih 150 dari 195 negara di seluruh dunia dijangka merekodkan penguncupan ekonomi pada 2020.
Tengku Zafrul berkata pemulihan ekonomi Malaysia turut tertakluk kepada usaha sama semua pihak termasuk syarikat korporat, perusahaan kecil dan sederhana, peniaga dan pengguna terutamanya bagi memastikan kehidupan rakyat dilindungi serta ekonomi diperkukuhkan. Menurutnya, setakat ini pakej-pakej rangsangan yang keseluruhannya berjumlah RM295 bilion telah memanfaatkan kira-kira 800,000 perniagaan dan menyelamatkan kira-kira 2.6 juta pekerjaan. Beliau berkata tempoh 3 hingga 6 bulan akan datang merupakan tempoh yang penting bagi menjayakan pelaksanaan inisiatif bawah penjana yang dijangka membuahkan hasil menjelang suku ketiga atau keempat 2020. Selain itu, Tengku Zafrul berkata Malaysia telah membuktikan daya ketahanannya dalam menangani pelbagai cabaran termasuk krisis kewangan Asia dan krisis kewangan global berteraskan asas ekonomi yang kukuh dan kerangka institusi yang baik serta pasaran modal dan kewangan yang mantap berdaya saing dan dikawal selia dengan baik. Mengenai pengurangan terkini OPR, Bank Negara Malaysia berkata pandemik COVID-19 telah memberikan kesan yang ketara ke atas ekonomi global dan pengurangan itu akan memberikan rangsangan dasar tambahan untuk mempercepat kadar pemulihan ekonomi.
Dan semalam Bank Negara Malaysia menurunkan kadar dasar semalaman sebanyak 25 mata asas kepada 1.75%. Ia menjadikan kadar OPR kini adalah yang terendah sejak 2004. Menurut BNM, penurunan kadar OPR akan menyediakan rangsangan dasar tambahan bagi memacu tahap pemulihan ekonomi. Pemotongan itu juga menjadikan ia pelonggaran dasar keempat yang dilakukan Bank Pusat bagi tahun ini. BNM berkata bagi Malaysia, aktiviti ekonomi menjunam pada suku kedua tahun ini. Susulan Perintah Kawalan Pergerakan PKP bagi mengekang COVID-19. Bank Pusat berkata inflasi bagi tahun ini diunjurkan negatif susulan kelemahan harga minyak global. Impak COVID-19 terhadap ekonomi global adalah sangat teruk dengan keadaan ekonomi global kekal lemah dengan unjuran pertumbuhan negatif tahun ini. Tambah BNM, beberapa ekonomi utama dunia turut mula melonggarkan langkah kawalan susulan pandemik COVID-19 sekaligus membawa kepada pembukaan semula aktiviti ekonomi. Dan kita bersama dengan Syan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Jual IQI untuk membincangkan berkenaan dengan penurunan kadar dasar semalaman pada semalam. Syan, what impact have you seen on the ground? What is the market intelligence when it comes to following the lowering of the OPR by about 1.2% to 5% this year, right? From about 3% to 1.75%. What is the intelligence report for Malaysia?
According to Juwai IQI Market Intelligence Report, the economy is picking up, mm-hmm. not as fast as people thought, but still slowly and gradually. It is moving towards a stabilization mode, which mm-hmm. is very good. If you see, in the month of June and July, we have seen a lot of momentum mm-hmm. being generated, especially on the aggregate demand, mm-hmm. which is a good sign. Bank Negara has maneuvered quite strategically this year, taking into account the global economic volatility. And you have a lot of exogenous factors that are beyond your control. But still, I would say Bank Negara has managed to maneuver quite significantly, even in these turbulent times. Mm. And they have managed to send good signal to the market. Mm-hmm. And overall, I think the monetary policy and fiscal policy, it will not make an impact overnight. It takes time. Mm-hmm. Any policy instrument that Bank Negara undertakes, it takes good 12 to 18 months mm-hmm. to make an impact. Mm-hmm. So I think overall, according to our market intelligence report, we expect by December, economy should stabilize.
Mm-hmm. And would this mean that consumers can, you know, now expect lower interest rate, lower financing costs when it comes to buying big ticket items such as properties, cars? Would they spend?
Absolutely. What we have seen in H1, IQI Juwai registered a sale of 2.4 billion ringgit, which is quite unusual, taking into account that everybody was saying that property market is bad, MCO, pandemic. Despite all those variables, IQI did achieve. So it does reflect that market still has the potential. People are still willing to buy big ticket items despite all those hiccups. So I think overall the market has shown that it has the resilience. Investors are willing to come back into the market. They have got cash. Many people are long on cash and they want to take a position in real asset. And in these turbulent times, if you see, the only fixed asset that goes up is land. So land prices are still appreciating in a very structured mode. I'm not saying 5 to 6%, but they're still moving up in a very structured manner. So moving forward, we see that more and more investors will be taking position in real assets.
Speaking of cash in hand, I know right now a lot of people, they have extra cash because of the moratorium. This will probably end in September, end of September, October. What will happen after that? Will people still be spending? Because I know there was a report in the newspaper a few days ago saying that people are seen to be spending at malls, buying things. Would this probably run out by the end of this moratorium period?
It depends. I mean, people still have, you know, two views about it. They think that this will continue. Some people think this won't continue. But what we have seen at Jowai IQI, people are coming back to malls. People have started buying properties and they are going into luxury products. I think this momentum will continue because of one premise: macroeconomic stability. Macroeconomic stability brings economic confidence. So wherever you have economic confidence, the economies are on the upsurge. So we expect we expect Malaysian economy to be trading between the range of 1 to 2% by year end.
Speaking of which, you mentioned confidence. Would businesses have the same confidence to expand, to invest, taking into account the penjana, the all the fiscal stimulus announced by the government, together with the lower OPR rate? Do you think business will probably go forward and invest?
At the moment, the businesses are quite cautious at the moment because of global economic volatility. You have geopolitical risk, you know, China, India, North Korea, South China. So there are a lot of geopolitical risk at the moment. But I expect businesses to start investing and coming back in the market quite vociferously by September this year. So I think by Q3, Q4, we expect market and businesses to move at a very faster pace.
And we have currently this the fiscal stimulus, the monetary policy. How all this shape the outlook for the economy and the stability of the ringgit? Because I think we all, I think most of us, were very familiar with the concept that when you lower the interest rate, ringgit will also go down slightly. Would that affect anything in the economy?
The monetary policy and fiscal policy have got huge influence on the currency market. But if you see right now, Malaysian government and the Bank Negara, they still have room to maneuver, especially in the fiscal space and the monetary space. But if you're talking about zero interest rate policy, it has always created volatility in the currency market. And the second influence that the currency market can have is the asset market. If a country has got broad range of asset products and investors can buy and sell and you have cross-border transactions, there will be less volatility in the currency market. But if you have less asset products and you have more restrictions on cross-border transactions, then you can witness a lot of volatility in the currency market. So right now, at the start of the year, in last December, we said ringgit will be trading between 397 and 430 this year. And the fair market value for ringgit in the third quarter is between 4.15 and 4.28. Some people said that ringgit is going to appreciate. Bank Negara would never allow ringgit to appreciate because you have to see the regional markets. The last month, the finance minister of Indonesia said that we are willing to move very aggressively with QE. So QE is going global and all the central banks, they're willing to go for QE. And nobody is in a position to allow the currency to appreciate.
So why is that? Is that bad for a trading nation?
It's not bad for trading. I mean, you have to keep a momentum in the economy. Mm. So the only way to keep the momentum in the economy, you have to lower the interest rate. You know, somebody said, the analyst, that Bank Negara is going to increase interest rate by 2021. I think the economy does not have that strength. Mm-hmm. To take the pressure of higher interest rates.
So, I believe that even in 2021, the economy will not be strong enough to withstand the increased interest rate.
Not only Malaysia, but globally.
Okay.
We are heading for lower interest rate regime for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. As of now, when I speak to you, 31 central banks have lowered their interest rate. Mm-hmm. So that is a clear signal to the market that, you know, not a single central bank, you know, is willing to go for higher interest rate, except for four countries like Russia, Mexico, Indonesia, or Turkey, where the inflation is very high, the discount rate is above 4%. Mm. But most of the central banks are taking a lower interest rate, and they will keep that for the next 2 years.
Without touching the interest rate, can the government do more in the fiscal space? Because I think we have announced about 280 billion ringgit so far in fiscal stimulus. Can the government do more, or is the government waiting a bit to see how it will probably turn out in the second and third quarter before it decides to do more? There is this debate whether you should do more now as opposed to wait for a few months more to look at how things are on the ground.
I think in these turbulent times, you cannot throw all your cards in one go.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to see how the market reacts. Mm-hmm. And if you pick up Economist magazine 2 months back, Malaysian government stimulus package was 16% of GDP, mm-hmm. perhaps the highest among ASEAN nations. Mm-hmm. I think government has done enough, and they want to see how the market reacts. The market is picking up, they are reacting positively to those fiscal and monetary stimulus. So I think in these turbulent times, you have to see how the market reacts. Mm. And you throw your cards one by one, you know. Mm. You can't throw all your cards in one go, because that sends a negative signal. Investors believe that governments are panicking. Mm-hmm. So once the governments are panicking, we have seen the Italian government, the Greece government. They panicked and the market, you know, went out, the investors went out of the market. So, you know, you cannot send a negative signal to the market. Mm-hmm. That the governments are panicking. So I think most of the ASEAN governments, they are total control of the economy, and they are willing to go for more stimulus depending on the market reaction.
Do you think you will probably like the zero interest rate policy? Because I think we've seen in the US, they've gone quite low. And in some countries in Europe, they've gone into the negative interest rate zone. Do you think zero interest rate policy for ASEAN, would that probably work?
I'm not a big fan of zero interest rate policy because it's a negative signal for investors. Mm. It sends a currency market into a volatile mode. So I think the interest rate should be market driven. Mm-hmm. Whatever the market thinks, you know, and the interest rate should be, you know, determined by the market forces, not by the central bank governor who can, you know, just lower the interest rate like the Fed did on 15th March on Sunday by lowering the interest rate to zero. Mm. That sends a negative signal to the market. So I'm not a big fan. The interest rate should be market driven. And it should be determined by market forces.
And Malaysia will still have more room, or plenty of room to manoeuvre, right? Because right
Absolutely.
Now it's at 1.75. I think Thailand's about 0.5%. So there's still plenty of room to manoeuvre.
In terms of monetary space, yes, the Bank Negara still has room to lower the interest rate. On the fiscal side, yes, you can still maintain a budget deficit of under 7%, which is still manageable. Anything above 10%, yes, that is a dangerous zone. Mm. But Malaysian government budget deficit is still manageable, and they still have room to manoeuvre.
But Malaysia is not the only country that is in this particular malady right now. There are other countries as well. According to what Tengku Zafrul, the finance minister, said earlier, according to data from the World Bank, IMF, 150 out of the 195 countries around the world are also experiencing the same malady in the economies. We're not in this alone. So you said 7% is okay. Some countries are now crossing the 10% deficit. Tell us more about that.
I think if you see in these challenging times, you know, the government have to chip in. Monetary policy alone cannot, you know, can bring confidence. Mm. So once the government comes in, you have the amalgamation of monetary policy and fiscal policy combined together. They can bring a turnaround in the economy. They can bring economic confidence. Mm. And investors are looking at the government. Do they have money? Do they have the policy instrument, policy levers to maneuver? Mm-hmm. And once you don't have that policy maneuvers and, you know, and policy instrument, That's where the investors leave those markets. And we have seen this is happening in Europe, this is happening in US, and even in Japan, where the economic confidence is very, very low. Mm-hmm. So once you bring in these monetary policy and fiscal policy, that can create a macroeconomic stability. So once you have macroeconomic stability, that can bring economic confidence. Once you have economic confidence, you can expect local investors to come in. So once you have confidence from local investors, then you can expect FDI. So it's a cycle, it's a full cycle. So, you know, once you have confidence from the government, confidence to the local investors, confidence to global investors, the economy starts on the upsurge.
And Sean, I think briefly, your outlook for second half of 2020. I think I have still haven't asked you the question. Outlook for second half of 2020, briefly, before we end the interview.
We expect the Malaysian government to continue to support the economy. Macroeconomic stability remains intact, and we believe the structural stability of ringgit will be maintained, and it will be trading between 397 and 430 against USD.
On that note, we thank you very much, Sean Said, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi JUI IQI, membincangkan berkenaan dengan penurunan kadar dasar semalaman ataupun OPR oleh Bank Negara semalam. Kami akan teruskan perbincangan tersebut dan kesannya kepada pengguna dan juga ekonomi serta pekerjaan di Malaysia dalam jam-jam akan datang. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awani. Saya Rizal Zulkarpi. Salam hormat.